I want you to turn with me to Habakkuk. Can you say Habakkuk? Some people say Habakkuk. I call it Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2. Very familiar verse of Scripture. As you're turning there, let me say once again, the Watoto thing is a great opportunity for us to get people to come to our church. We need you to come. I know it's on a Sunday night. You could give up one Sunday night. Now, people who are in life groups are already used to coming. The rest of you that are not in life groups, come out and support this. It'll be a blessing to you. Bring friends with you. We're going to advertise this a little bit next week. And Facebookers, we need your help. Twitter, you Twitterers, get out there and tweet, tweet, tweet. And tweet about the Watoto thing. And don't talk about your aches and pains and how you feel today. Talk about something positive. Talk about the Watoto thing, okay? Okay. So help us with that and help us get some people here. They'll be blessed by it, and we can raise some money for these children, these orphans. That testimony of that child is pretty typical of all of their testimonies. They've all been abandoned. Their families have died. Can you imagine something happened to you and your children having to live on the street? I mean, it's, you know, we don't put things in perspective. You know, we're really a blessed nation. We have nothing to complain about. Did you get that? We have nothing to complain about. We are the richest. In fact, most people in this world live on $2 a day. $2 a day. You make more in 1 hour than most people have in a week. It's unreal. We are rich. Our poorest people here are rich. And we have nothing to complain about. And God has blessed this nation, and we need to be a blessing to the other nations of the world. Amen. Habakkuk 2, chapter 2, verse 2. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. We wrote the vision for you, this little video. I tell you, our media arts team do an awesome job. They really do. Johnny and Eric, they just do awesome, and anybody else that helps with them, they just do awesome work, and they're going to do better work. We went to a dirt conference this last week. Say, what's a dirt conference? Well, you were made out of dirt. God took something that wasn't much, and he made something pretty special. And so we can take things that we have in our grasp, and we can really make them into something really special. And that's what it was all about, making great things with having little budgets, doing great things with what we have to do. And I'm looking for God to increase us where that is concerned. Y'all quiet today. Did anybody go deer hunting this morning? Nobody went deer hunting, came to church? Okay. Anybody want to? Okay. I didn't. I came. I could have taken this week off, but I came. Why do we need to focus on vision? Why do we need to focus? As I said a while ago, we have a tendency to drift. That's our natural inclination. We get so caught up in our day-to-day lives, and this has to do with the vision that you have for your life, for your family, for your career, for our church, anything. We have the tendency to get so caught up in our day-to-day living that we just start drifting. And sometimes we need to be reminded of what the vision is. We have to go back and we have to rehearse it. We have to refocus. In your relationship with God, you know, we all want to spend time with God, and we know that it's important for us to spend time with God. But many times in our life, so many of the things of life comes in, and what I call time stealers, if we're not careful, we can start out with a commitment to spend time with God, and yet everything in life pulls us away from that, and all of a sudden we find ourselves that we're not spending time with God. And we've departed from the vision and the goals that we've set for our life. So even as a church, sometimes we need to go back and we need to look and we need to refocus and we need to remind ourselves, what is it that we're doing? Where are we going? And why do we exist? So it says in Proverbs, chapter 29, verse 18, it says, where there is no revelation or where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. See, vision defines who we are. Our vision defines who we are. Who am I? What am I? I'm a pastor. I'm a husband. I'm a father. I'm a papaw. My vision for life defines who I am. I lead an awesome church. Can you say amen? This is an awesome church. I'm so excited at what God has done in the last year. I'm just blown away by it. I stand back sometimes and think, I'm so lost. I don't know what to do next. Then I have to think about the vision. What is it that we're about? I was looking, and numbers are not always indication of things, but I was looking back at numbers this last, comparing the last year and this year. And for October last year, our average was like 260-something. This October, it was 408. That's pretty overwhelming. 145 new people have been introduced into our family, into our church family, our church life. And I'm thinking, gosh, I don't know them all. Back in the old days, I knew everybody's name, everybody's kid's name. I knew everything about them. We all went out, you know, we could all go out and eat together after church on Sunday night. The whole church would just go out and eat. Can you imagine all of our bunch showing up, 400 and something people showing up at a restaurant to go out and eat together? I don't know all your names. And that just overwhelms me, because I'm a people person. I like to know names. I like to know about you. And it's getting, as we get larger and larger, that becomes less likely and less likely. We took some criticism here not long ago from one of our people in a public forum called Facebook. And I thought to myself, I can get mad and I can repost something real ugly, or I can just look at ourselves and reevaluate some things. It's very difficult to grow as fast as we've grown. It's real easy for people to feel neglected. And I know some have felt neglected, because it's very hard to say hi and talk to everybody. It's almost impossible. We got a good crowd this morning. We're usually running anywhere from 150 to 200 in the first service, and 200 to 250 in the second service. So it's overwhelming. I can look out and I can think, okay, who's missing? And I don't know. I don't know anymore. And it overwhelms me. And sometimes you look back and think, okay, he doesn't notice me. And, you know, the truth of the matter is, it's hard to notice everybody. So it's kind of a dilemma. How many do we have here? And I want you to stand up if you were with us at the old church. If you were with us at the old church, stand up. Now hold on a second. Now let me say something. Keep standing. To our new people, these are the people who paved the way by their attending, by their prayers, by their working, by, you know, being involved, by their giving, and made it possible for what we have here today. Praise God. Let's give them a good hand. Praise God. These are the people who helped pave the way for what has happened. What would be ashamed if Satan would come in and say, you're not important anymore, and you believe that? That's what would be a shame, because all of the sowing that you did, all of the giving that you did, all of the work that you did, you would not see the benefit of what God is wanting to do. So this is why we want to refocus on our vision, because it defines who we are. Number two, it keeps us on course. Number three, here's the words, focus, focus, focus. It helps keep us focused, because it's very easy to get distracted and get away from your vision. I get all kinds of opportunities. I get all kinds of requests from people to be on this board and to serve in this area. You know, it's amazing that when you're not very successful, people never notice you. Nobody in the town really notices you or care that you're even there. But you start having success and you start growing and things start happening. All of a sudden, everybody wants you to be a part of what they're doing. So I have to focus, 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 because I know that my number one priority is this right here. It's this right here. So I have to stay focused. I have to remind myself of what our vision is. Now we know that here's our vision statement. Reach up, reach in, reach out. Let's say that together. Reach up, reach in, reach out. That is what our vision is all about. I want us to talk about each one of these very briefly today. I always want people in this church on all levels of spiritual growth. And this is where I really need the people who have been with me a long time. Because when you have newborn babes, when you have new people, guess what the role of the older people, I'm not talking about older in age, I'm talking about older in longevity with being hooked up with what we're doing. You can help make something happen better. We need people who are seasoned in this church. We need seasoned believers. We need people who are somewhere who are brand new. We need heathens in this church. We need some heathens, I'm telling you. God send us heathens. And He has. Some of you are sitting right here today. We've seen God change lives through the different outreaches that we have, through our Flow program, through Celebrate Recovery, through the services here where people come. The Holy Spirit speaks to people as they ride up and down the road. We prayed that years ago, and we keep getting testimonies for people riding up down the road and they see this church and God draws them in here. And He does that because He wants to change their lives. That's what we're about. We're about moving people along lines of spiritual growth, to know relationship, to having a relationship, to become committed followers of Christ, and move them in a place where they're serving God and really, really, truly growing. That's what we're all about. That's what reach up, reach in, and reach out is all about. So we all have a role in this vision that we have. I want to read. My Kindle keeps going to sleep here. Just a minute. I love Kindle, but it goes to sleep on me. I want to read a quote from Crazy Love. When I read this, can I say this in church? It kicked my tail. It really kicked my tail. Because I couldn't answer this question. I could religiously. I mean, I knew what the right answer was. But in reality, could I really answer this question honestly? The critical question for our generation and for every generation is this. If you could have heaven with no sickness, with all the friends you ever had on earth, and all the food that you ever liked, and all the leisure activities you ever enjoyed, and all the natural beauties you ever saw, all your physical pleasures you ever tasted, and no human conflict or any natural disasters, could you be satisfied with heaven if Christ was not there? Now that kicked my tail. It's amazing how much of our relationship with God is based on what He can do for us. And we think, God, I thank You. You've blessed me. You've saved me. You've delivered me. You've paid my water bill. You meet my needs. And it's all about what He can do for us. And it has little to do that we're in love with Him. And could we be happy? I know it's not going to happen, but I think it really reflects where a lot of American Christians are today. Because we're all about the benefits. And our movement has taught us to, and it's not wrong, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, and forget not all of His benefits. Now some folks, they won't talk about the benefits because that's not spiritual. Well, that's not true. But if we're all about the benefits and not about the relationship, what do we have? Could you love Jesus if there were no promises, just heaven? Could you love Him? And I had to think about that. Because the first part of our vision says it's reach up. Now many people equate reaching up to what we do, what we call praise and worship. Praise and worship is such a small part of reaching up. Worship, a small part of worship, is about singing. Did you know it's possible to sing and not worship? It's very possible to come and do all the right things and still not be a worshiper. Because worship is not just about that. Worship is about being in love with Jesus. Reaching up has to do with loving Him. And when we say that our vision is to reach up, it is to teach people what real life is all about. One thing I keep hearing over and over and over again with people in general, not just people in this church, but in other church, people who come visit our church. You know, we shop churches like we do bargains. We shop churches like we do cars. I hear people say, well, you know, the church just doesn't meet my needs. Or I have outgrown this church. Or this church doesn't do this, and this church doesn't have this. It doesn't have a good children's program. They don't have good praise and worship. They don't have this, and they don't have that, and they don't have this. And if we're not careful, and I think all of those things are important. We work on those things. We work on our youth program. We work on our children's program. We work on our praise and worship. We work on what we teach and what we preach and our expression as a church and how we look and how we brand ourselves. We all of that's important to us because that's the mindset of people. But somehow we've got to move them out of that and into a deal where it's not just about me or you, that it's about Him. See, the truth of the matter is that the church primarily and mainly is about Jesus. It's not about me. It's not about our programs. It's not about you. And it is, but primarily it's about Him. Reaching up to Him. Having a relationship with Him. You can have all of the good stuff. And we want the good stuff. There's nothing wrong with having the good stuff. But you can have all of the good programs. You can have all of the good stuff. You can have all the right outreaches. You can say all of the right things. And if Jesus is missing in the equation, what do we have? We don't have a church. unless Jesus is the focus of the church, folks, and not me. It's not that we have a dynamic pastor, we have a dynamic worship leader, it's that are these and those are good and that, and all that's important. But if Jesus is not here, if Jesus is not glorified, we can do all of the right things, but it's empty. I don't want us to ever get off of that path. Primarily, what we're called to do is to reach up, to have a relationship with Him, to love Him. Have you ever seen relationships where one person in that relationship does all of the taking and the other one does all the giving? I think in many Christians' lives that describes their relationship with Jesus. Jesus is the one who paid the total cost. And we're standing here thinking, what else can you give me? 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 I want more. My name is Jimmy. I'll take all you give me. You know, we get in that mindset if we're not careful, and we forget to love Him. We don't really understand what it means to reach up to Him and make Him all that matters. Because He is all that matters. Prosperity is in the gospel. People say, well, that prosperity gospel. Folks, I believe in the prosperity gospel. I believe God wants to prosper us. I don't believe a lot of what goes on TV, okay? But I'm talking about the prosperity of the gospel. You can only bless somebody to the level you've been blessed. You can't give if you haven't been blessed by God, okay? You can't have to sow into every need if you haven't prospered. Prosperity is a part of the gospel. But it's just a means to an end. The car you drive is a means to an end. The house that you live in is a means to an end. Paying your electric bill is a means to an end. It's all temporary. When it's all said and done, it's us and Jesus. It's our love relationship that we have with Jesus. It's more important than the fact that the church is not what it should be. That there's people in the church who are not perfect. I'm looking for the perfect church. Well, you're in the wrong one if you're looking for one here. Because this dude right here is not perfect. And I'll tell you. And I'll tell you what my faults are. And you can see them. And I won't try to hide them from you. And if you can't deal with that, then this is not the place for you. This is not the perfect church. We don't do everything right. We're trying, but we don't always get it done. We have people who are hurt. We don't hurt anybody on purpose. But it happens. We're not perfect. And if you're looking for the perfect place, this is not it. There is not one. The only perfection that we have is the one that we worship. The rest of us are trying to reflect Him. And we can only do that through a one-on-one relationship with Him. Reaching up to Him. That's our vision. To be a church that reaches up to God. Now the second part of this is called reach in. Reach in. This has to do with fellowship. It has to do with discipleship. This is an important part. Because once you have a relationship with Jesus, now your relationship with Jesus is not based on how smart you are or anything like that. Because when we come to Christ, we're all pretty dumb. Okay? He says, let me give you a scripture. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my thoughts and my ways above your ways. Well, that means we're dumb. Okay? That means that we have to be educated. And we call that discipleship. Learning about Him. It's not just enough to have a relationship with Him. It has to come into a place that we have fellowship with Him, a growing relationship with Him through His Word. And we do that through fellowship with one another. We have chosen to do life groups in this church because you cannot disciple on Sunday morning. the body is too diverse. In fact, the only thing we do here is called monologue. Monologue means I talk and you listen. It's not proper for you to talk. You got to listen, because I am the talker, okay? This is monologue. And if that's all we do is monologue, and see, here's where the church, I believe the church has missed it, and we have crippled growth. In most churches, everything has to do with monologue. Somebody talking and you listening. Somebody talking and you listening. Somebody talking and you listening. The tragedy of this is, and this is good because we need this, but the tragedy of this is that you don't have anything invested in what I'm saying today. You have not studied about it. You have not read about it. You haven't prepared yourself. And what we have created in the church world is people who come and the pastor has prayed and prepared a meal, cut it up in bite-sized bits, and stands here and feeds it to you. And you're saying, feed me, feed me, feed me. I like that. Feed me more. And you have absolutely nothing invested in it. But when we give you a book and say, okay, we're going to study this book and we're going to come together in groups and we're not going to dialogue, we're going to monologue. That means that you have to read, you have to prepare, you have to think. God forbid that we have to think. You have to think. The Holy Spirit can speak to you, and He can give you things that other people need to hear. And He can give other people things that you need to hear. And we come together in the context of a small group, and we talk to each other, and we dialogue and not monologue. And we focus on a way of thinking, and we talk about it. It's called discipleship. In fact, in the early days, they broke bread from house to house, small groups. And this is why we have begun doing small groups. We were guilty of what most of every other church has done for years and years and years. We had a Sunday morning service for monologue. Sunday night service, monologue. Wednesday night service, monologue. No dialogue. Some of you have got some good things to say. I need to hear what some of you can say. And this is the second part of our vision, is reach in. This is where connectivity takes place. See, there's several things that happen with the reach in. This is our goal for the reach in. Number one is fellowship. Number two is study. Number three is discussion. Number four is serving together. We challenge all of our groups to pick a servolution project and work together on something outside of these church walls to be a blessing in this community. Does that cause you to grow? Absolutely. In fact, you're going to find that you can grow only so far by studying the Word. You grow to a certain level and you quit, because you can't grow by just taking stuff in. I went to Bible school to learn how to be a pastor, to learn about ministry. You can only take in so much, and you can only learn so much by that. You learn twice as much by going out there and start doing it. And this is what scares the bejeebers out of people. When you're asking them, it's all right as long as you feed me, feed me, feed me. Now we're asking you to go feed somebody, and you think, oh, I can't do that. The church has crippled people, and they can't grow because they don't have an outlet that they can serve. And we're wanting to find outlets through our reach in and reach out, where we can serve together as groups. We can do projects together as groups. Hey, God forbid that we could even learn to get along with each other, even if we disagree about some things. That's the big thing. When you're in a small group, you hear all kinds of opinions, don't you? Opinions are like noses. Everyone has one and it smells. Isn't that right? Isn't that the sanctified way of saying it? But can we have differences of opinions and still get along? Is there growth in that? You know, I've had a lot of prejudice in my life, even hatred as a Christian. And God's had to deal with me about some things, about attitudes. And He has put me in some situations of fellowship with people that I probably disagree with theologically a long ways. In fact, I was in a relationship with one of the local Church of Christ ministers. I gained great respect for him through fellowshipping with him. Now, I remember the old school Church of Christ folks that used to tell me every day I was going to hell because I didn't belong to their church. It was refreshing to know that he didn't believe that about me. It was refreshing to know that he was a believer and that he loved Jesus and that I loved Jesus. And we could talk about things that we agreed and disagreed on and not hate each other. I'm amazed at the Christians who differ, who just get red-faced and hate each other. No wonder people don't want to come to Christ. Who's the church about? It's about Jesus, isn't it? And it's about us becoming like Him. And if we can't get along with each other, how can we ever show this world who Jesus is? This is part of the reach in. See, it's got to be in order. It don't work unless it's in order. If it's not reach up first, reach in second, then the reach out does no good. Now the next part of the reach in, and one of our goals as life groups, is the care ministry. This is where you take care of each other. We are growing at a fast rate of speed. We grew by probably 100 or 150 people this year. That's more than I can take care of. Guess what life groups can do? They can help take care of. Whose job is it to pastor this town? Is it my job? It's our job. One of the ways that we can do that is learning to take care of each other. If we can't take care of each other, how are we going to take care of people as they come in? We have to have a mechanism as new people come into the church that there can be care ministry given to them that they need. I cannot physically counsel everybody that needs to be counseled. I can't visit everybody that needs to be visited. I can't follow up on everybody that needs to be followed up on. It is physically impossible to do that. We have about 600 people who call this their church. Every week we've got 200 people absent. I can't keep up with that. But guess what? Could a life group that had care? A life group member goes into the hospital. Who takes care of them? The life group can take care of them. They can keep me informed so that I can do what I need to do, but there are things that I can't do that a life group can do. And that we're in an evolution with our life groups. We're not where we need to be, where we want to be yet, but I believe we're going to head in that direction because it's part of what will enable us to grow bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And you say, well, you just want a big church. Well, a lot of people are going to hell. I'm wanting to grow a church where there's people saved that don't know Christ. I want a church that is a hospital of healing for those who have been hurt by other churches, people who maybe as a child were raised in an abusive church environment and they can come and they can rediscover their faith. Because we don't want to be legalistic here. We don't want to be liberal, but we don't want to be legalistic. We want reality. We want an atmosphere that people can come and be comfortable while the Holy Spirit makes them uncomfortable until they find Christ. That's what we want to be. The next aspect of our vision is reach out. Reach out. Let me just tell you some of the things that we do here. Okay, you know, we don't talk about this enough, and that's my fault. I need to talk about these things more. Some of the things that are outreaches in our church. Celebrate Recovery is probably one of our biggest outreaches. I think we're averaging somewhere around 60 adults here every Friday night. That's not counting the kids. That's not counting the teenagers. We are having agencies that are referring people to us for ministry. And I'm talking about secular agencies that are sending people to our Celebrate Recovery because people are being helped by what we do. 60. And probably, I don't know how many kids and teenagers. What would you guess, Jason? So we're touching 90 people here every Friday night, Celebrate Recovery. Is it tough ministry? Dude, it's tough ministry. We see a lot of people who come in, do good, fall. We see a lot of that. But we also see people who are being helped, who are having hurts, habits, and hang-ups. The next one that we do is a prison ministry. We have a group that goes out of here, Steve and Becky, my brother, and his wife, DJ and Denise, and they hook up with Terry Roark, and they go into prisons. In fact, we had our drama group go to prison Friday night and Saturday night. I think there was, 40 saved? 40 people saved just this weekend that had to do with our drama group. Did y'all do the thing that y'all did here? The Everything BCC or whatever they call it? That's what it was on Facebook. But they did the drama that they did here that Sunday morning. 40 people got saved. Huh? 5 different dramas. They did a lot of drama. There was a lot of drama going on. So that's the prison ministry that we support. We support John 3:16. We were the first church that ever supported them. We were with them from the beginning. We did for them what we're doing for Luke 4:18 now. We used to just take up food and just we did what we do showers for them and gather stuff, and we bought trailers for them and so that they could have places for guys to stay. That's what we do here. This is part of reach out. We're big supporters of Luke 4:18. We help them. We do all kinds of things with them. We're going to see them grow. We support battered women here in town. We support Alpha Pregnancy Center. Now, I'm probably not going to name all of them because I wrote down what I could remember. We support Del Cohen that was just here, who is a Jew among the Gentiles and also reaches out to Jewish people. We also support Larry Smith. We've supported Larry Smith for years and years and years. He was an old rodeo cowboy that used to go to rodeo. He was a bulldogger. And he would go and he would enter rodeos and he would go around and shoe horses for people and invite them to church. And he would do a church service every rodeo. And he witnessed to people and get them saved. Now he's doing outreach to kids. He's doing boxing with kids off the street. And he reaches out to those kids and he gets them saved. Larry Smith, we've supported him as long as I can remember. We support Ecclesia College. That's the old YWAM group out of Elm Springs. They're starting a college there and we support them. Also, we do the FLOW program here. This is working with the courts where they court order families in and we teach them how to be families. So we do the FLOW, Family Life Outreach, is what we haven't done it in a while, but we'll do. Also, we support the Christian Health Center in Heber Springs. That's where people can come in and see a doctor and get a prescription filled. We're fixing to start one. We're in the process of launching one here in Batesville where people from 19 to 64 that don't have insurance and can't get insurance can see a doctor and get a prescription filled for $5. $5. Isn't that good? Guess what? We're helping to start that. Probably we're going to house it here until they can get their own place. And we're giving them the 501c3 covering that they need to do that. We're supporting that effort. There are several doctors and pharmacists and nurses and groups coming together, and hopefully in early 2010 that will launch on Thursday nights. Dude, I'm excited about that. What is that? That's called Reach Out. We're going to be a part of that. I'm on that board. Then we do Servolution. Servolution. We find ways that we can reach into our community and we can serve people. We've done all kinds of things this last year. We have instructed every one of our life groups to pick a Servolution project and go out and minister to somebody outside these church doors. We do our WINGS, Women's in God's Service. They do serve projects. They do things. One of the things that they do is the foster care outreach, where they babysit the foster kids so that the foster parents can go and be trained. We do that every year. We do church camp. Church camp is one of our big outreaches here. We spend tons of money on church camp every year, about $15,000 to put on church camp every year. We get kids saved every year. It's an outreach. Lots of kids from other churches come, and they're in a great environment where they hear the gospel. This last year, we did the July 4th celebration. Used to be an outreach of a Sunday school class, and we decided we were going to have it here just so that people could fellowship. We had 500 people show up for that. That's an outreach. Say, did you preach any gospel? No, but we sowed some love into some folks. And down the road, we know that some of that's going to pay off. We do a harvest party every Halloween as an outreach and loving on our community and loving on kids. We did Celebrate Freedom this year, where we rented UACCB and we did a celebration service where we rejoice that you can be free from hurts, habits, and hang-ups through the power of Jesus Christ. On and on and on and on. We do Biker Sunday. We have Chariots of Light, which is our motorcycle ministry. We do Football Sunday. We have U-Turn. We do Celebration Station, which is in conjunction with Celebrate Recovery. It's a curriculum for kids, and we do that. We do Elevate on Wednesday night. We have children's ministry. We have one of the best children's ministry, bar none. That's called Reach Out. Reach up, reach in, reach out. We just got to keep doing what we're doing. God's going to show us some more stuff. Are we through changing yet? No! I want to change till Jesus comes. I want to be different. I want to be on the cutting edge of what God's doing. I want to be right where He wants us to be. We fill a niche in this town that only we can fill. There's other churches that fill their niche. We've got a niche in this town, and God wants to bless. And God wants to bring people into the kingdom, and I want to be a part of that. Ooh, the vision. My question is, can you see it? Can you see it? Can you see it? If you can see it, then we can be it. But you know what we got to do? We got to focus. Focus, focus. Let's get our eyes off of us. What we like, what we don't like. Oh, I don't want to change. I don't like this. Let's get our eyes off of that and let's get it on Jesus, because He will orchestrate the whole thing. Because that's who we're called to represent, Jesus. And that's all. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, thank You. Thank You so much that You have entrusted this dispensation of the gospel that You have given us in this town. Lord God, I thank You for other churches, and You've given them a vision. Wonderful churches in this town of diverse backgrounds and diverse theological positions. I thank You for them. I thank You that they meet needs in people's lives, and we thank You for them. But Lord, we're responsible for what You've given us. And we want to be good stewards of this grace. Help us to focus, focus, focus. Help us to forget about our own agendas and our own selfishness and focus, focus, focus on what You want us to do. We thank You today, and we praise You in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Stand with me. My dismisser is gone, so it's up to me to dismiss you today. So guess what? You're dismissed. See you tonight.